The poison is both ways. If they're being down on a team or a player, don't drink it. It's a one-game thing. Just play and be your best. If you think, oh, they got this, this is going to be easy, you will lose in this tournament. And again, I've done this 20-some years, and even more than that probably, I don't know, but this thing is unpredictable. Who is playing well at the time? It's not like seed. Who cares about seed now? Seeds don't matter. It's who's playing well. And if you're playing well, you advance. If you're not playing well, guess what? You don't advance. So, you know, I'm just trying to teach these guys because they've never been through this. They may be reading this stuff and, oh my gosh, no, don't read it, don't watch it. Just focus on the next game we have, which is a tough one.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let's talk K-State and Kentucky with T.J. Beisner, hosts Kentucky Sports Television. Recommended by Jason Anderson. We will not hold that against him. Hello, T.J., how are you?
I'm doing well. Good morning.
Thank you very much for joining us. We appreciate it. And so from our perspective in watching Kentucky, it's like Nate, my co-host, he's a Kansas guy, and you know, we kind of focused when Kentucky lost to Kansas early in the season. I'm a Mizzou guy, watched Kentucky and Mizzou twice. First time around, Mizzou wins 69-60. Then when they met in the rematch, Kentucky looked like a totally different team and ran Mizzou off the floor and won by 20. And so then we see him in the SEC and NCAA tournament, and they look fantastic. And so having watched all the games and watched them progress throughout the season, how have they changed the most? How are they better now than what we've seen, say, when they lost to Kansas and when they lost to Mizzou?
Well, I think right now they're playing as a team, which sounds, you know, pretty basic basketball cliche, but this is, you know, John Calipari always has young teams, and early in the season when they get in that Champions Classic and they play Kansas or Duke or whoever, they look like a bunch of athletes running around the floor. This team is even younger than anyone that John Calipari has coached at Kentucky, so it's taken a little bit longer for them to understand each other and really for Cal to understand who they are as a team and how to use these guys. You know, early in the year, Quad A Green was the point guard and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was running off the ball. They switched it about halfway through the season to where Shai had the ball in his hand most of the time, and Quad A is really more of a shooter, more so than a creator. And that took time to adjust, and now there's this team really goes as Shai Gilgeous-Alexander goes. And I think as they figured out each other, it allowed them to build a little bit of confidence. And there were points in the season where, you know, not only were they not confident, I think, in themselves as a team, but individually. I mean, so many of these guys were lost. And, you know, Cal, what it's built around at Kentucky is usually you can win if one or two guys is having a bad game because you have two or three other guys that you can count on. With this team, it was, you know, six or seven guys would have an off night, and you had hope one player, Kevin Knox or Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, could carry you to a win. And now they're getting more to the team that the Calipari likes to have. That, you know, last game, Hamidou Diallo, he scored double-digit points three times in the last 15 games. He had 22-8 against Buffalo. Well, they won by 20 because other guys are being consistent. So right now, almost every single player on the roster is playing their best basketball of the season, and it's allowing them to be a little more comfortable with each other offensively and defensively. So I think what you said is totally accurate. You know, they looked a mess beginning of the season, really even in the middle of the season, and now they went from losing four games to they won 9 out of 10. And so they're very, very different than they were at any point in the season.
So my assumption with Kentucky is always that the hardest part for teaching freshmen is to teach them how to play defense. And because you come out of high school thinking that you played hard, but not really understanding what it really means to play hard at the collegiate level. Mm-hmm. How much better have they improved defensively from that part of the season that Steven was talking about until now?
Tons. And that was the struggle with Calipari. You know, he talks a lot about defense in practice. They spend a lot of time doing defense in practice. And this is a team that, when you look at them on paper, they should be really, really good defensively. They all have length. They're athletic. They can switch. You know, a guy like Winyon Gabriel, who's 6'10", he can defend the perimeter, at least, you know, against most teams and for a little bit of stretches. This is a team that can go 6'7", and the starting lineup are 6'6", 6'5", 6'9", 6'10", 7 feet. and really be good defensively. The problem was, like you said, they didn't understand the commitment to it, and they also weren't communicating. And so he played a zone at some points in the season, and they actually looked pretty good in the zone. But Calipari, if you followed him at all in his career, he will not play zone. He hated it. He would rather them be out there struggling in man and figuring it out than winning with a zone. That's just how he is. And so the players would come in after the game and say, yeah, we like the zone. Well, Cal will come in and say, of course they do, because they can be lazy. We don't have to commit and communicate as much. You know, it's easier to hide those things in a zone. So they've committed themselves defensively. And I think what's been interesting is, you know, this team is an all-or-nothing team when it comes to offense and defense. If they're playing well defensively, their shots are going to fall. That's just the nature of freshmen, maybe. It's just how this team has been. If their shots are not falling and they're struggling on offense, they start to get frustrated defensively, too. And that's when we've seen, you know, for instance, the Florida game was the only game they've lost in this stretch. The last game of the regular season, they went down to Gainesville. They couldn't score. And then all of a sudden, they're not communicating on defense. Florida's hitting all kinds of shots. And they get run out of the gym. I mean, they got absolutely destroyed. It was way worse than what the score indicates. And so I think this is a team that's matured a little bit past that, to where they're competing a little bit more, even when they're struggling on offense. But that's still a big vulnerability to me. If you can frustrate them, and I know Kansas State plays pretty good defense, and the players talking a lot about their pride in their defense, if you can frustrate Kentucky on the offensive end because they're so young, that sometimes will then translate to the defensive end where they're not communicating. They're trying to do it themselves, steal balls, and they're getting in foul trouble. And that's, I think, one of their vulnerabilities right now. They seem to be all or nothing when it comes to both ends of the floor.
TJ Beisner with Kentucky Sports Television is our guest. We've heard the clip several times of Coach Cal saying that he does not want his team to drink the poison and listen to people saying that they have an easy road to the Final Four. Saying that and actually accomplishing that, two different things. They're playing Kansas State, didn't expect to be playing them, and they look and see Loyola Chicago and Nevada. How difficult of a task is that? Because they are kids, and they are paying attention. They watch SportsCenter, right. They read everything. It does seem like if they are playing at a high level, that the road has opened up for them to get to the Final Four, maybe to the national championship game.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's a concern. And what's, you know, that soundbite there from Calipari, this is the time of year where he's always kind of a philosopher in his press conferences, and he has this, you know, he says what he wants to say regardless of what the game was. You know, he has his soundbite. But this is the time of year when he really turns it on, and I think that lends itself to focusing on the opponent. And also what I think the staff hopes is that losing all these games and struggling throughout the regular season to a point where, you know, there was a time when they were talking about maybe not going to make the NCAA tournament. Is this going to be a team that, you know, guys don't get drafted? I think they hope that also lends itself to saying, okay, we need to focus on what's happening today, then we'll move on to the next one, and everything will take care of itself, because you know, every coach says that, you know, one game at a time, every sport, every coach says that. It's tough to do, especially with young players, and they're in this moment for the first time. I mean, they have two guys, Sasha Kalia-Jones and Winnie and Gabriel, who are sophomores, but they didn't really play any significant minutes last year in the tournament, so this is really new for everyone. And I think the hope is that because they've struggled, they will stay focused. But that's easier said than done. I mean, I think we'll know in the first 5 minutes of the game against Kansas State if they've understood the seriousness of it and if they're out competing.
So obviously the Gilgeous-Alexander versus Barry Brown matchup is going to be fantastic to watch. But the one guy that K-State has that always poses matchup problems for a lot of teams is Dean Wade. He's 6'10". Mm-hmm. He can step outside. He can stretch the floor. And a lot of teams have a difficult time matching somebody up with his size that can also get out and step out and guard him away from the basket. We're waiting to find out how much Dean Wade's going to play and how effective he will be. If he does Kentucky have the personnel to guard someone like that?
I think they do. You know, they have size, but it's size that's versatile. You know, they have big guards or they have stretch forwards like Winion Gabriel and P.J. Washington. And Winion's about 6'10". Very, very thin, so he has difficulty defending the post at times. P.J. Washington, only about 6'7", and that might be a stretch, but he can defend out on the perimeter as well. So I don't know if they have one guy that you say, okay, this is the one you put on him, but they have a couple. I mean, you could throw Kevin Knox in there, who's really, you know, on offense, they consider more of a shooting guard, but he's 6'9". And so I think this is a team that has options, but again, it goes back to, you know, the body of work this season for each of these guys has some really, really nice moments. But they also have some really, really dark moments, too, because they struggled so much. So I don't know if Calipari and the staff are sitting there saying, okay, if he plays and he's even at 90%, this is the guy we go with for 40 minutes because he can match up. But I think you have a couple of options. You try to mix it up and see what's working over the course of the game.
All right, so you've watched a lot of Kentucky. We've watched a lot of Kansas State, but we want your opinion. How do you think this game plays out tonight?
Well, I think if Kentucky plays the way they played the first two tournament games, I think they're in really good shape. You know, this is a team that is much better than a 5 seed when they're playing their best, but when they're not playing their best, they're worse than a 5 seed. So I think just based on the last two games, Kentucky's going to play really well tonight. It's going to be difficult for Kansas State to win. But again, I'm basing it on two games. If we stretch that out to 15, I'd have a lot more concern.
TJ, we appreciate the time. Looking forward to a good game tonight between K-State and Kentucky. Thanks for coming on the show.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Seth.
That is TJ Beisner, who is with Kentucky Sports Television, helping us preview the game tonight between K-State and Kentucky. Here is another college basketball note, a major hiring in college basketball. One of the hot names out there has been Rhode Island coach Dan Hurley, and it was reported yesterday that Pitt was very interested and had made him a big offer to replace Kevin Stallings after he absolutely burned that program to the ground. But apparently, Dan Hurley said, no thank you. He will be the next head coach where? Have you seen this yet?
No.
Where is he going to be the next head coach?
I'm trying to think of who's got a job opening. Not Louisville.
Nope. But a team that has won national championships.
Connecticut.
Yep. UConn.
Like it. It's a good hire.
UConn hires Dan Hurley. And you can
smart on his part to take that job over the Pitt job.
Well,
I think.
I mean, that's not even, not even a decision, really. Yep. So, well, thank you to TJ Beisner for coming on the show. You all right in there?
Better hire Kevin Stallings at Pitt or Charlie Weiss at Kansas.
Oh. Well, I would say the bigger disaster would be Kevin Stallings because they ran off a really good coach.
Yeah.
In Jamie Dixon.
Yeah.
A really good coach did not get run off at Kansas, you know what I mean?
Well, Mark Mangino did for Turner Gill.
Right. So, but I mean, Turner, you know what I mean? It would have been Weiss right after Mark Mangino, but like.
And even then, it's probably not fair to compare Mangino to Jamie Dixon because Mangino didn't go on to become a head coach anywhere else. Jamie Dixon's gone right to TCU and made them relevant.
No.
Pitt fans like, oh, finally, we get rid of Jamie Dixon. We got Kevin Stallings. All right. Here we go.
0-19.
Here we are. And so like, oh boy.
No.
Oh no. Well, hey, you know what? Let's make a big offer to Dan Hurley. We'll get him. No.
Mm-mm. No.
Mm-mm. It seems like they've dug themselves quite a hole.
No.
Pit.
They dug themselves quite a pit.
Wow.
Let's
take a break.
No. Thank you.
Sure. Sure you
yes.
Can. Yeah, by the way, I'm not going to read any more of my mentions.
A lot of people weighing in on the porn discussion.
Yeah. What? Yep. Yes, sir. A few people weighing in on Kendall Wright visiting with the Chiefs.
Nice.
Sign all the offense.
Meanwhile,
let them all.
Meanwhile, Stormy Daniels is apparently going to be featured on 60 Minutes.
Huh.
I saw.
Was she talking about sugar?
I don't know, but I saw a joke that said that they're going to do a 20-minute interview with her, and a guy said, "That's weird. Usually, I watch Stormy Daniels for 3 minutes and then suddenly lose interest."
Nothing could be better than the Ricky Williams interview. They can't top that.
No,
no matter how.
Yeah, but they still got to keep doing a show. I mean, they can't
more
just give
addictive.
Up.
Sugar?
Sweet.
Maybe they could do a 60 Minutes episode on the workshop, the anti-porn workshop.
The best part, like Ricky Williams was so happy to answer, could you pass a drug test today? No. I didn't even wait for him to get the, no.
Nope.
Just play. I
think you can pass an anti-porn test?
No. I mean, me? Yeah, what? Headphones are out again.
How long does that stay in your system?
No. Not very long, trust me.
He used hash.
You smoked a lot of marijuana, yeah.
Yeah. And you have done the same.
I have done the same.
Could you pass an NFL drug test today?
No.
So you still smoke marijuana?
Mm-hmm.
Anything worse than that?
Worse? Yeah. What do you mean by worse?
More addictive, more dangerous, conceivably.
Sometimes I have sweets. Sugar?
Usually right after I smoke marijuana.
My goodness. And right now I'd love to have some sweets. Sugar?
It's addictive.
More addictive, more dangerous, conceivably.
You damn pothead.
Mike Walls is so mad. Jake demands the Chiefs sign defense. Your thoughts on Kendall Wright visiting Kansas City right now, please. Oh, hey, there it is. he tried to go to break.
His thoughts is throw to break.
If you're mad, just let it out. You don't have to pretend.
What about Ben
that
Watson?
You agree with everything.
No. Ben Watson's old and washed up.
Clearly, Brett Veach listens to the show, so they've answered your demand for defense by visiting with Ben Watson and Kendall Wright in back-to-back.
Ben Watson's older than Brett Veach, by the way.
Yeah, no thanks on Ben Watson.
Would you have Ben Watson or Demetrius Harris as your number two tight end?
Trey Burton?
Someone who will catch.
Trey Burton?
Versus someone who may not.
I just don't want to see the Chiefs drop the ball on this one. You know Trey Burton.
Well, Trey Burton's gone, and he signed for a pretty big contract.
Mm, bigger than $16 million per year?
But they're making him a number one. He wants to be a number one tight end. He didn't want to go anywhere to be a number two
guy.
He can
be 1B here, right behind the best tight end in the league.
So but you'd ben rather Watson's have them overspend on a number two tight end than a number one wide receiver?
Oh.
Yeah. I would.
All right.
Overspending wouldn't be nearly as high.
Welcome to the program, Nate.
Speaking of Ricky Williams. Gary's so mad right now.
Good. Hey, Gary, we're late because
they're
of Jake.
Eating up my time.
We don't have to get to Matt Beasler today, so I'm fine.
And back after this on WHB.